Plus 49.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Plus 49. I'm thrilled to have you with us for another session of great conversations and maybe even some insider tips. Today, we've got a fantastic guest, Eleanor from the Germany List. She's here to share some fun insights and hidden gems about life in Germany. But first, we've got a packed show lined up for you. From cultural happenings to exciting events you won't want to miss. So, grab a coffee, sit back, and let's dive in. It's time for your weekly news update right here on Plus 49, bringing you the biggest headlines affecting expats in Germany and beyond. So, let's start. Germany's automotive industry is facing another major challenge. US President Donald Trump has announced a 25% tariff on foreign car imports, set to take effect on April 3rd. With the US accounting for 13% of German vehicle exports, carmakers like Volkswagen, Mercedes, and BMW are facing for significant losses. Some manufacturers might respond by raising prices or increasing production in the US. But industry leaders warn that these tariffs could severely disrupt global supply chains. The German automotive sector is now calling on the EU to negotiate a trade agreement to mitigate the damage. Meanwhile, in Berlin, coalition negotiations between CDU, CSU and SPD are in full swing, with immigration policy emerging as a key sticking point. CSU leader Markus Söder is pushing for stricter border controls and a rollback to pre-2015 migration policies, while SPD negotiators are emphasizing European cooperation. The coalition is also grappling with major budget concerns. Current proposals would create a 600 billion euro financial gap, leaving many ambitious plans uncertain. As talks continue, both sides are keen to avoid the mistakes of the previous government and craft a coalition agreement that is financially viable. On a more optimistic note, Hannover is hosting the world's largest industrial trade fair, bringing together over 4,000 exhibitors from 150 countries. This year's event focuses on robotics, energy production, and artificial intelligence in industry, with Canada as the official partner country. Amid economic uncertainty and global trade tensions, organizers hope the fair will promote optimism and encourage investment. That's it for your news roundup for today. Stay with us for more insights and our interview with this week's special guest, Eleanor. Maybe in March you already noticed some changes around Germany when the temperature finally rose above 15 degrees. But get ready for this new month, because in April we're likely to see even more warm weather, starting right away with this week. And as the sun comes out, so do the people. Yes, even in Germany. It's a fascinating seasonal shift. One day the parks are empty, and the next it feels like the entire city has relocated outside. And Germans do take full advantage of good weather, flocking to parks, beer gardens, and lakes. It's almost like a collective agreement. When the sun is shining, staying indoors is simply not an option. A big part of this is the beer garden culture. Unlike other countries where outdoor seating is available year-round, in Germany it's a seasonal experience. When the first warm weekend arrives, tables and benches are filled with people enjoying a cold beer in the sun. You'll notice that even if the air is still a little chilly, Germans will wrap themselves in blankets just to enjoy their first outdoor drink of the year. Then there's the hiking and cycling culture. Germans love nature. And as soon as spring arrives, hiking trails and bike paths get busy. It's the season of weekend getaways to the mountains, the countryside, or even just the nearest forest. Wandern, or hiking, isn't just a pastime here. It's a deeply ingrained tradition. And it's not just for older generations. Younger people are embracing the outdoors just as much, sometimes combining their hikes with a stop at a traditional mountain hut for a well-earned beer or a slice of cake. Another funny but very real part of German spring culture, the obsession with sunbathing. The moment the sun appears, you'll see people stretching out in parks, on their balconies, or even on their lunch breaks at work, faces tilted towards the sky. It's as if Germans are storing up every bit of warmth before the next cold front arrives. This is all part of what Germans call Frühlingsgefühle, or spring feelings. It's a season of renewed energy, outdoor socializing, and yes, even a little extra flirtation. People just seem happier, more open, and ready to make plans again. So yes, it is possible in Germany. And if you've been wondering why the streets, parks, and cafes are suddenly packed, this is why. Spring in Germany is a time to embrace the outdoors, soak up the sun, and enjoy a season full of new energy. And with April just beginning, we're only getting started.
We are back in my favorite part where we can talk with different people from different worlds who have understand Germany in very different ways and have made their lives here. And one of them is the dear Eleanor, who has been fighting with the Kita strikes for a couple of days now. And I'm so happy that we have had the chance at the moment to talk and find a place, even though in a time, because of course, Kita strikes can be quite complicated, can they?
Yeah, they're over now. It was like a couple days here and there. So yeah, always fun.
But always fun. That is a great part. You're still seeing the fun part of Germany, aren't you?
Well, it kind of, to be honest, it almost doesn't matter because it's probably the same in Berlin, but in Munich, basically from mid-February to mid-March, everybody is sick all the time. So especially when you have a kid going to like school, which is just a germ container. So it's a good bet, even if there's a strike, your kid is homesick anyway.
It's part of normalizing things, which one of them is you will have a sick kid during this period.
Yeah.
And you have kind of already put it in your lifestyle. You have integrated that. But you also do an amazing work. So tell us a little bit about
what I do. Yeah. Okay. A lot of things. I won't like go into my whole like million years that I've been in Germany, but I do two things. I have a business. It's like digital strategy, digital marketing, branding, websites, online marketing, all that stuff. And that actually started, I worked at an agency here for 10 years. It was like an American agency getting started. And then I freelanced at different agencies. I got a big network from that job. And then when I started this business for a while, I was going to like focus on other expats here. And I sort of did that. And I started a podcast. And through the podcast, I realized there is such a huge ecosystem of, I mean, there's a lot of stuff for startups, but like just regular people having their, the English term is like mom and pop business. Like maybe they're solopreneurs, or maybe they have an online store, or maybe they're, you know, doing a consultancy for sustainable energy or whatever. There was just a ton of people doing super interesting stuff. And so I realized maybe this isn't the like target market for my digital business, but it's so interesting. And when I came here in like 1999. So like my first job, I was paid in Deutschmarks. And there were like some websites you could go and you could find everything that was like going on. But then social media came and all of these things are like now in different Facebook groups or people have Instagram. And there's no one place where you can find all of the things. So like, for example, that I like to use, there's a woman, she's another American woman, and she lives like in one of the Munich suburbs. And she found a way to take a cut of Bavarian pork and roll it up so it's like an American Christmas ham. But I can never remember where she is. So I have to go into the Facebook group and just type ham, ham, ham every time I want to find this woman. And I was like, we just need some place where you see, I can just go Munich food, international foods or whatever, and find everything. So that led me to start a project with a co-founder named Lindsay called the Germany List. And we're trying to document everywhere in Germany, every community group, every small business, every English speaking Frauenarzt, just everything you need is for both people that need stuff, but also Ausländers that have their own businesses and want to market them where it's like out in the open and you don't have to like go dig through social media to find them.
We are back with Eleanor, and we are talking with her about her job here in Germany and, of course, the amazing website that she is doing with a co-founder, Lindsay, where you can find basically everything in English, and especially Frauenärzte in English, which is very important for a lot of people out there. And finding a good community is something very important. How was it back then when you arrived in Germany? Because you just told us that you were paid in DMARC. How has it evolved for the international community? When you arrived here, it was probably very different from what it is today.
Yeah. I also want to say one thing. So it is the Germany list, which is the name of the site. We also, I just added today, I have really curly hair and it's always hard to get cut. And I found there's a Brazilian woman in Hamburg and she does not speak English, but she has a great Instagram account and her name, I think, is Mias Divas or something, but she speaks Portuguese, Spanish, and a little bit of German. So she can go on the list too. So it's not just speaking English. It's like, you need to get your curly hair cut. That has been like my biggest challenge living in Germany. But how is it different? I mean, one thing that I think is just different is it kind of tracks along media. First of all, it's much more multicultural. So I am a Black person. I used to always be like the only Black person in place. That's not the case anymore. I mean, I have just seen over 20 years how more multicultural Germany has gotten. But also the media. So when I kind of got back into this, there was nothing when I moved here. You were figuring everything out on your own. And so that was another reason that inspired the Germany list, because I just was like, oh my God, look at these influencers with a million people on their Instagram telling you how to do stuff in Germany. And like when I came, it was like you were just getting yelled at Aldi, not understanding what's happening or being scared to buy bread in the bakery. You know, you just had to figure everything out on your own. There were like little books and every now and then there's like a magazine or something. But it was, yeah, it wasn't, I mean, it's still hard, but just the amount of people producing helpful content. That's another category we have is like influencers and creators to follow. They're talking about life in Germany. I'd say that's probably the biggest difference.
As a person who migrated, because we have talked a little bit in different radio shows and in the podcast about migration, that it's not easy, that it's not something that one day you wake up and say like, oh, I'm going to go to another country and it's going to be so much better, because you actually think that will be the case. And then you arrive in Germany and you get screamed at in Aldi. How did you overcome that fear of speaking in German or that fear of going to a baker shop and asking, what would it be for you, like something you can give to the people who are arriving here and are feeling that fear?
I think honestly, a big part of it was learning German. So the bad thing is you can stay in an English bubble forever. And I ended up getting a job at this agency and it was all Americans like staffing the European office. You could just do everything in English if you wanted to. But at some point I just made a conscious decision that I was going to learn German, and learning German is a lifetime process. And we speak English at home now. So my German, you know, it's very rusty at the moment, but I can always get do whatever I need to do. I can go to parties. I can socialize. I can talk to my in-laws. It's not a problem. But until I really felt confident in German and like yelling at somebody who's yelling at me on the bike path, that changed my experience completely, I have to say.
So at some point you start yelling back.
Yeah.
Which is very different from the States or Latin America where it's like, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. And you will never yell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
And here it's kind of like you have to yell back. Maybe that's kind of the point. Like in the moment that you do feel integrated is the moment that you start yelling back.
Yeah. And not to say that it's always about yelling, because I was talking about yelling at Aldi and yelling on the bike path. But, you know, being able to communicate, and also if you're really new, like there's a long period where you're trying to go out and mix and, you know, be with other Germans. And at some point you just kind of check out of the conversation. When I got over that hump, that really helped. And I just felt like I was more integrated into life here.
Let's make another short music break before we go into our last section and segment with Eleanor. So, Eleanor, we talked a little bit about what you're doing right now, but we did not get to the part where you tell us your story. How did you arrive in Germany?
I came for just kind of fun. I studied design in San Francisco, and we had a German guy on our VG. And so then we had like all these people coming to check out San Francisco. And I just wanted to like travel a little bit, check it out. And a friend of mine had this idea that we could start an agency, which was ridiculous because he was from Vienna and like didn't know anybody here. And I knew no German, but I was like, well, I'll just come and we'll see what happens. And then I did kind of decided I want to stay. And I had really good luck. The woman at the Kaffau Air kept saying, well, you have to get a job or you have to get married. And here's 3 more months. And that went on for like 8 months. And then I got a job at an agency. And the guy was like, no, I was like, I just need an Arbeitsgenehmigung. That was like my one goal. I was like, I have to get that. Those are going to come and like throw me on a boat and send me back to America. And I didn't want to go back. And he said, no problem. And then my first month, he came up to me and like gave me an envelope full of cash. He's like, oh, it's not as easy as I thought. And so then I was like, okay, I need like a job at a bigger company. And there were a lot of American companies start. This was like the web 1.0, and they were starting their, you know, businesses, and Munich was a popular place for headquarters. So I walked into one and got a job pretty easily. The recruiter was American from Boston, and he said, how's your German? And I said, well, not great. And he was like, oh, doesn't matter. And that job really changed everything. And I stayed there for 10 years. I mean, once I had my Arbeitsgenehmigung and this thing for my job, like I was living in a friend's office. So I had a kitchen and like a little Teeküche and a toilet, but I would go to the gym to take my shower and stuff because I couldn't get an apartment with like, I'm like, I'm just here with nothing, no real job. So once I had that job, it was like, I got an apartment and everything was like totally legit. So that changed everything. And I stayed there a long time because I wanted my unbefristet Aufenthaltserlaubnis, as my permanent residence.
How has it changed from being in an agency to starting your own business?
Well, it's different in that, you know, you have to kill what you eat. You have to get your own business, as they say. But I wouldn't have it any other way. But I'm really grateful for the time that I was there because I built up a huge network. So it was very, I don't want to say easy, but I left there and then I started contracting. So I had friends that were at other companies and agencies. So you just like, they knew to call you, or you could just say like, I'm looking for work. But there was another shift from doing that to say, I want to have my own business. I don't want to freelance at firms. I want to like do my own projects and have my own companies. And that was a big learning curve in terms of like marketing, building a pipeline, positioning, niche, all that stuff. So that was a little bit more of a learning curve.
Is communication in Germany different from the one that we see in the States? Because I do remember that Latin America, especially Mexico, has like a very specific vision of how you understand advertising and media in general. Mm-hmm. And we are very, very American in a lot of ways. And when I arrived in Germany, I realized that there are a lot of other things that do not fit the same standard, the same vision that I would say the whole American continent has. At least that was my experience. I don't know how it was for you.
You know, I have to be honest, because I was a native English speaker, all of the projects I was on were international projects. And once for a little while, I was on the T-Online account and I was like, get me out of here. Because I'm sure it's different now. This was like a long time ago, but it was so formal and everybody was Frau and Herr and this. And it was such a culture shock. And then later I went to Vodafone. I was in like telecommunications for a long time. And that was like people from all over Europe and the UK. It was totally lots of Americans. Then I was like, okay, yeah, this is. And then all my clients are global. So I've never really, the little bit I had, yes, it was very different and it was very stiff and formal. I don't know if this is still true, but I'm probably like, I don't know if I can really give you a good side by side.
No, but it's part of the cultural shock. And yeah. I'm positive that you also had a couple of cultural shocks when you started working and you started actually living in München. Do you remember like the biggest one for you?
Well, for me, it was really understanding regional differences. So Bavarians are very, you know, kind of grumpy. They'll tell you that too. And then I was on a project in Cologne and I found people there so open and friendly. And then I understood, you know, you're in your little thing. So everything you see, this is Germans are like this. This is Germany. But then I went to Cologne and was like, oh, Bavarians are like that. Not people in Cologne. And then people explain like Rhinelanders are like the Americans of Germany. They're backslapping and open. And so that was a little bit of an adjustment. But I guess still the things that like are different is like people can be so gruff. But like one time I gave somebody the finger. That's something I do all the time. But and my German friend was like, you cannot do that. And I was like, everybody is so grumpy. Like, of course you could just do that. And he's like, no. So that was like a big learning for me. Like just because people will be in a way that we might find not so friendly doesn't mean you can communicate in your unfriendly cultural ways back.
Would you do all over again?
I would have learned more German sooner, faster, better, and not hung around with so many other English speakers so much at the beginning. I mean, I don't know. It's hard. It's like you can be super lonely or you can like get really good at your German. It's hard. But I think that's so important is like getting solid German under your belt.
So for our last segment with Eleanor about the German list, what are the greatest finds you have had ever since you started the German list?
Oh, wow. Well, except that she's in Hamburg, this curly hair cutter, because the Hamburg is, well, actually, I do have another Brazilian woman here who now I found after much searching. Wow. There's a woman that makes cupcakes in the falls. Now I don't have any of these names in front of me that are great. There is a person in the falls that does wine tours that are pretty great. There are a lot of really cool e-commerce people selling like goods from their home countries. And oh yeah, there's this other guy who is from South Africa and he sells all these South African delicacies and foods. So I like food, as you can tell, ham, food. So yeah, all kinds of stuff.
So if someone has something in not only English, but preferably at some point in English, how can they contact you? How can they be part of the list?
Right now, all they have to do is go to thegermanylist.de and there is a button that says add your business and you click it and there's a form and you can put in a little paragraph and a backlink to your social media or your website or whatever. And that's all you have to do. We do check it. So some of the criteria for me is like, sometimes people are like big businesses and then not really fitting. So I do always just go to the about page to make sure. And if it's not in English, that's also fine. The main thing is we want people who are not native Germans. And like, oh, I'll tell you a good example you asked me. So there is a woman here, Tasneem Cakes, and she makes the most amazing cakes and cupcakes, like huge creation. She does everything from Instagram. She's a mathematician and she does this on the side. And you just like DM her on Instagram and she gets me my cakes and for my kids' parties, mermaids, anything you can think of, she will make it. That is like another one of the amazing finds. And she's not official business, whatever. She's just selling her cakes on Instagram. But yeah, you just put your Instagram, put your website on there. And as long as you're a real person and not like a big business trying to pretend you're a small business, then you can be on there.
And you also have a podcast.
I do.
What do you do in that podcast? What can we hear?
Now that podcast lives under the Germany List brand. It's called the Germany Expat Business Show. And I started that podcast because I was looking for other non-native German business owners to just like talk about what it's like. Like, how did you get your business set up? How did you deal with your taxes? How did you find customers? Do you target Germans? Do you have your business in German and English or whatever other language? And that is a great joy of my life. It is so, even on days when I'm tired, I'll talk to somebody and everybody always, always, always has an amazing story of how they ended up here. And these are all people that are pretty go-getters. You know, it's the easy thing. And that was the case for me. Everything's easier when you have a corporate job. You get your Arbeitsgenehmigung, you get your visa, you get everything. But when you say, no, I'm going to do my own thing, that is not easy, regardless of what you're doing. So I talked to one person, we used to be colleagues at the agency, and he left and started his own consulting business. And he like went into the details of how you get like a vendor number at a big company so that you can bill, like little really nitty gritty things like that. Or I talked to a startup founder. She's like originally from Persia, but lived in Canada and then Sweden and now in Germany. And she was telling me how she got an e-residency in Estonia because it's much easier to do your taxes there. And just, it's all that kind of nitty gritty stuff about trying to run a business as a non-German in Germany.
Where can we hear it? How can we find it? Tell us all about your details so everybody who's listening can also reach you.
Well, you can find that on, you know, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all the podcast channels. But you can also just go to thegermanylist.de and right in the top nav, there's the podcast and you'll see all the episodes there.
Eleanor, thank you so much for being here with us. Also, thank you so much for accepting the Morning Espresso in your list. And we're more than happy to have you once again at the end of the year and see how much has it grown in the next couple of months, which we hope that there are going to be a lot of growth for you. And thank you so much for being today with us here at Expat Berlin.
Thanks for having me.
Plus 49. Ask a German.
So I've been married for like 18 years. But I remember I found dating in Germany really confusing. But this was also before apps. So I know it's like a whole new world now. So like, how does dating work in Germany now?
Well, I think the first thing you need to know is that meeting someone in Germany can be a bit tricky, especially if you're new to the country. And even for Germans, it's hard. I speak of my own experience here. Unlike some places where people meet through chance encounters, Germans tend to date within their social circle. So, a lot of the time, people end up meeting through friends. But let's be honest, if you're an expat, your social circle might not be as big yet. So, online dating can be a good alternative. Tinder, Bumble, and even Hinge are popular apps here. So don't be shy to swipe right if you're looking for love. Or at least someone to share a beer with. But once you've made that connection, let's talk about the dates. Here's where it gets interesting. Now, if you ask an older German about their first date, they might tell you about a nice dinner at a restaurant, perhaps even a movie. Classic, right? But I, for example, am a Gen Zer, and I would say things are a bit more casual in our generation. For us, a first date doesn't have to be this big, fancy thing. More often than not, it's just grabbing a coffee or going for a walk in a park. We like to keep it low pressure, casual, and get to know someone in a more relaxed setting. In the end, it's less about the event and more about the vibe. That said, it does vary from generation to generation. Millennials might still lean towards something like a drink at a bar or a casual dinner, but I would say even they appreciate a more laid-back vibe. If you're with a German in their 30s or 40s, you might find him a little more traditional, preferring something a bit more formal like a dinner or a wine bar. Now, when it comes to where people meet, that's another thing that varies by age group. For my generation, meeting someone online is pretty common. But even older generations have started embracing the idea. You'll still see people meeting at social events, like parties or concerts. But if you're looking to meet someone in a more relaxed atmosphere, cafes, parks, and even bookstores are popular spots. But there's the thing about dating in Germany. Honesty and directness are key. Almost like in everything when interacting with Germans. Germans tend to be straightforward from the start. If they're interested, they tell you. If they're not, they'll also let you know. Probably. I mean, there are always exceptions. And that might sound harsh, but in a way, it makes everything clearer. No need to read between the lines. So, whether you're meeting online, through friends, or at a random bar on a Friday night, dating in Germany is usually a more relaxed affair, I would say. It's not about grand gestures or whirlwind romances. It's about getting to know someone at a comfortable pace. And if you can handle a little honesty and a lot of coffee, you'll probably be just fine. That's all today for our episode here on Plus 49. A huge thanks to our guest, Eleanor from the Germany List, for joining us and sharing some great insights. Hopefully, you've got some inspiration for the weeks ahead, whether it's embracing a culture or just soaking up the spring atmosphere. We'll be back soon with more stories, tips, and insights. Until then, stay curious, enjoy the season, and maybe go some sunbathing. See you next time. Goodbye.